me.
Ow. I just hit myself. Oh, no.
Hey, everybody. What's up?
Hello. Welcome to another episode of the Best of Five. I just slapped the shit out of my hand. That really hurt. Goddamn. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Best of Five. Sorry for the small hiatus. We took a couple weeks off because I was, in a panic. Still am in a panic in a little bit of ways. What's up?
Are we all?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm so tired of living in these unprecedented times that we live in. Dude, so I just want to share what happened between 2 weeks ago and today. I'm going to Evo.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I'm going to be working Evo, so I don't know like what I'm going to be able to do aside from working at Evo, but I'll be working. I'll be there. Honestly, goal achieved. So I'll see everybody there. I don't know. I like the week, like this lead up to it. Like I'm like my anxiety's at an all time high because I also have another freelance gig tomorrow. So which is why we had to do the show tonight. And I'm like, I'm losing my shit. But at least I can pay rent. So, hooray.
Yeah, that's always a good thing.
Yep.
It just hit me that Evo was gonna be next weekend. I looked at the brackets and I was like, "Oh man, I'm starting to get excited. I won't be going, but I'm gonna be great. I'm gonna be happy watching it."
For sure. No. Also, Automatic, thank you for using your Prime on the show of the Best of Five. I appreciate it. I'm sure everybody in the chat appreciates it as well because having you here always makes the show better.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we got a lot to talk. We got a lot to talk about today, and I said this was going to be a shorter episode, so let me start the timer, as it were. We're going to be on the 1 hour timer.
You know when you said having me on the show is makes it easier and it's a pleasure, whatever. I was about to stick my tongue out and do that whipping lash movement. I was going to be a real degenerate. I don't know what came over me.
Dude, do it, man. Look, if there's one thing about having a smaller show where we don't have sponsors or anything is we can do whatever the fuck we want. We can say fuck and we can say shit. And everything's fine. You know, nobody dies. Tiddlywinks
and ding-a-ling and fart face.
Ding-a-ling fart face. Absolutely. Before we get on with the show, I just want to do the life update since we haven't been on here for a while. This past weekend, it was a big weekend for me. On Saturday, we had Lost in the Sauce 2, which is the Tekken Regional or the Tekken Monthly here in Austin. It was part of the Cuddle Cup, which is the invitational that Cuddle Core is doing here in Texas along with Red Bull. And it's going to be, there's four qualifiers. Lost in the Sauce, which was this past weekend, was the first one. There's going to be one in San Antonio, one in Dallas, and one in Houston. And then on top of that, four other players that will receive invites through Cuddlecore will be joining the bracket. So whoever the four qualifiers are will enter the invitational along with those four invitees. It's going to be really exciting. And honestly, man, going to a local again was so much fun, man. I had a blast. One of the sponsors was Top Notch, which is a hamburger shop here in Austin, which is pretty cool. And ooh, they just had free food. And honestly, like even on stream, I was just chowing down, man. It was a blast. It was a dang old blast.
Did you do any commentary? I like when you commentate. You have a good voice for it. Don't let the world tear you down. You need to commentate more.
Oh well, I was doing commentary. I think I disagree as far as me having a good voice for it, though. But hey, man,
you do.
I have fun. Something that I was really grateful for. So the TOs are UGK for Life and Blasphemous Black. The Saucy FGC. If you follow them, they're relatively new. I think they started TOing like just before the pandemic came on, and then once the pandemic hit, like they took a break, and then like they started ramping up the TOing stuff again, and they're doing such a nice job. You've been to a lot more regionals and locals and tournaments than I have, so I wanted to ask, have you ever been to a tournament that had a free open bar?
No, not open. Free open, no.
Free open bar.
Adjectives and verbs and syllables and whatnot. No, it's always been a paid, but how did that go? Free open bar,
dude. It was sick. They got a third. It was an alcohol or like a beer sponsor from a company called Third Brewing here in Texas. It was awesome. The bartender was really nice. We had the food from Top Notch, which was also free for like they had free food for the attendees. It was sick. Red Bull. There was Red Bull everywhere. It was awesome, man. And what was really funny is like we were setting up the tournament, and I just turned to the person running the stream and the head TO, UGK, who's a good buddy of mine. And like I just saw the stream on like on a break, and I was like, hey, can I just sit down and start interviewing people? They were like, yeah, do whatever you want. So I sat down and I interviewed Trojan, who had won the previous tournament for Lost in the Sauce. I sat down, I interviewed Joe Crush, who was the person who wound up winning and qualifying. Wound up interviewing a couple of the local talents. So shout outs to them for just letting me run wild and just do wacky shit. It was awesome. It was awesome. So I just wanted to shout them out because that was sick.
Yeah. I recognize UGK for life.
Yeah, yeah.
I recognize that name. I think I've seen him in my stream before.
Yeah,
maybe even subbed.
Yeah, he's a stream monster for sure. He pops in every once in a while. I've seen him hang out at the James Chen stream as well. So he knows what's going on, and he's super passionate about the FGC, man. I'm proud of that guy. He's really been like ramping up and like making an event that is so fun to go to. Even like I didn't even play this time around, and it's in an art gallery, so it's like a super interesting venue. There's like super interesting shit to look at, and on top of like the great Tekken, you know. So I don't know, man.
How many attendees? Just about.
I think there were like close to 50 people that entered.
That's really good for a local. Good.
Yeah, no, it's really really good, and there were people from. Trojan, who was the person who won the first Lost in the Sauce, came back. He is from Dallas. There was Joe Crush, who's from San Antonio. There was Black Pharaoh from Houston, and there was like all the Austin representatives. So we had like one of each, there was like representatives from every major city in Texas. It was really cool. It was really nice. I don't know, man. It was really fun. I had a good time. I feel like I need to go to locals more now. I feel like I have to go to locals more every time I talk about locals, and then I, you know, life. But yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to share a little bit of that up at the top of the show because that was really, really fun, and I had a great time. So big ups to UGK, Blasphemous Black, everybody that was at Lost in the Sauce, number 2. It was pretty good. All right. It was pretty good. Automatic, what you been up to?
Man, just being a dad and thinking about playing Street Fighter 6, but, you know, Bison kind of freshened it up a little bit, but that kind of wore off. So I'm thinking like, oh, and there's a lot of cheaters in ranked, mm-hmm. and a lot of poop faces in general. So I've been playing like casual matches, and that's about it, man.
Just big chilling.
I did some side gig work last week. That was fun.
Nice.
Pretty much. I had to do some extra dad duty. So that's pretty much what I've been up to, man. Just
for sure.
Being a family man, good.
Good, good. Family man looks good on you. It seems like you're having a good time every time you post a picture with you and your daughter.
Yeah. Definitely. There's been like a month ago, I looked at myself while I was streaming, and I'm like, dang, I look old now. I don't look like somebody who's in their 30s but looks 20. I look like I'm in my 30s. I look like somebody who is a dad.
When we had Tento a couple of weeks ago on the show, he said something that I think like really resonated with me. And it's like really important, and I wanted to share it here, is that we're always going to be the first person to pick out the pimples on our faces, because we, you know, we see each other and we see ourselves in the mirror every time, you know, anywhere we are. But nobody else will. And even if they do, they're going to be polite and not tell you about it. So we'll just pretend they don't know. Right. So all this to say, it's like we're our own harshest critics. And I think you look like a handsome, strapping young man.
Why, thank you.
You're welcome. You're
sleep
welcome.
Deprived, low energy, back hurts, strapping young man.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I at the gym today, I'm starting to do split squats with a barbell on my back, and I could not walk today. I had a rough one, man. Hmm. Like, you know, when you're like when you get like that really good leg workout where your knees just feel like they're gonna buckle at any moment. It's like, damn, man.
I've had those days where I get home and I have to use the walls to get to my room so I can lay down permanently.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and it's like I'm so sore that like I called off the gym for tomorrow because I have to get on the plane on Wednesday, so I want to make sure my legs work.
Called into the gym like I'm not going to make it today.
Yeah, I work with a personal trainer, so I was like my personal trainer is like one of the most badass women I've ever like met. And like literally anything, I'm like, man, I'm having some issues with my elbow. She'll be like, think fixed. Like, she knows so much about, like, the muscle structure and everything of the body, and she's so, like, talented. I don't know. But anyway, all this to say, I'm hurting. So, and we're on a timer. So let's get into it. Before we get into the Evo stuff, I wanted to share this trailer that came out this morning from the folks over at NetherRealm Studios for Mortal Kombat. And it is the final the Final Combat Pass character, Takeda, who was a big name in Mortal Kombat 10.
All right, let's take a look, Shay. Yeah, Shay. Mortal Kombat, Shay.
Yeah, Shay, yeah. Look at this guy. That's Scorpion's son, I think, which is crazy. But what was really interesting is last week, Ed Boon took to Twitter and made like an 8-post thread about what they're like the game plan for Mortal Kombat moving forward, and they're going to be buffing a lot of characters. They're going to be like reworking a lot of these cameos. And also, Takeda already kind of looks like he's going to be a big problem, which is awesome. Like, he has an air grappling hook for a double jump. That shenanigans is going to be crazy.
Oh, a little bit like Spencer.
Yes. Yep, and I think coming up, we're going to see one of the things that Ed Boon was talking about. Ooh, let's say I pair you with an archer. As soon as the gameplay starts. I don't want to be in some super also, I just realized I'm in the wrong screen, so we'll just... Oh, damn it. I fucking ruined it.
What have you done? Where did we go?
Okay, wait. I just realized I clicked the wrong button. Let's say I pair you okay, there we go. Gotta have the branding in there. I don't
want to be in some Elon broke it. Flag on the play.
Here is one of the things they're going to change about the cameos. Watch this. New cameo attack from Frost there with the ice wall. So that's a huge change. That's like an entirely new move that they're adding for that cameo.
So you think they're going to have variations? Is that where that's going?
No. So they're adding moves to the assists. Like, so they're giving assists more options, which is so sick.
You just get to do more stuff?
Oh, yeah. And here's another one. Cyrax, even when he trades, his bomb still drops.
Oh, jeez.
Also, he's got like the Ibuki EX kunai from Street Fighter V, where he can throw the kunai on the ground and it explodes later. This is another buff here. 2 missiles for Sector instead of just 1, so you can keep those combos going even longer.
They're really leaning into it. I feel like there's been some concerns about how the cameos work. And they're absolutely. Like, all right, you're going to like this.
you know what I really love? What I really love is that they're doubling down on like the assist aspect of this assist fighter, and I can't wait to see all the crazy shenanigans we're gonna get. Anyway, here's his fatality. Bink. There you go. And that is the conclusion of the Battle Pass and the conclusion of year one of Mortal Kombat 1. Dude, I think...
So,
go ahead.
I have a theory about Mortal Kombat now. This kind of inspired the thought, at least. You know, when a game first comes out, my wife is calling me. I'm so sorry I didn't take this call.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. I got it covered. We'll go over the trailer here a little bit. So, like I was saying... Some of the really impressive stuff, some of the things that I really like is that they are, like, really doubling down on, like, the wackiness of the game, you know? Like, whereas before it felt like they were kind of, like, tiptoeing around it, not really kind of going into it all that much. But now they're, like, really doubling down on the assist fighter portion of it. Like, they're not shying away from having some stuff that's a little fucked up. And honestly, I think that's awesome.
So my thought was that when a game first comes out, that's when the most sales, you know, arrive on release. And then after that, it kind of the more hardcore competitive and people who really love it, they'll stick around and keep playing. But I think they don't really care about the hardcore competitive. They want to keep maintaining that casual, you know, interested in fatalities, that kind of player base. So they just work on that and give you more stuff. And then the competitive players, they'll figure it out or not, whatever. Doesn't really matter that much. So they just keep they just try to make it as cool as possible, I guess, for the layman, I suppose. Which I guess there's nothing wrong with that. But
yeah, I was about to say, honestly, I think that's the way it should be.
But in that way, it feels like they get lucky whether or not their game is fun to play competitively or not. But if that's just not their interest, then I mean, not going
to
get it.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing, too. I think to your point, I think they are putting – there is a big focus on, like, the quote-unquote casual audience, right? Because they have a lot of like, the big thing about Mortal Kombat 1, and I feel like it's something that Warner Brothers has been forcing a lot of their games to do in Warner Brothers games. I'm not sponsored by Mortal Kombat, so I can talk a little bit of shit, even though I love Mortal Kombat and I love all the crew over there. I think Warner Games has been forcing their like, the people who develop games for that publisher to, like, make it a live service game. Right, we saw that with Kill the Justice League with the Suicide Squad, where it seemed like they had an idea for the game, and then about halfway through developing it, they were like, "Oh shit, we have to make this a live service game, so we have to switch up a bunch of things." And then it got delayed, and then it was production hell, blah blah blah. I think the same thing is happening with Mortal Kombat. Granted, I think they probably had a bit more lead up to that, where they're doing like the seasons, right, where they have new costumes that you can get, that honestly, like, the season costumes actually look really badass. I'm like super impressed with them. And there's what I forget what they call it. Invasions is the game mode, where it's like it's almost like a Mario, like a Super Mario thing, where you have the overworld and you're going through and you have to battle like each level, and there's like secrets and stuff. It's really cool, and they're making it they're making like a different thing every season for it. So that's like the live service aspect of it, and like the costumes keep like, in my opinion, like, they're super duper interesting. I really like them, and you can keep unlocking them, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what I'm really curious about is like what they're gonna do year two, and something that Ed Boon has said was he pulled. Like, literally on the Ed Boon Twitter, he pulled and he asked, like, what do you guys want? Do you want more cameo fighters? Do you want more cameo fighter moves? Do you want more characters? A lot of people have said they just want more cameo fighters. So more assists. Yes. Which is really cool. And I'm really liking the way they're approaching it, because it basically, the assists are, they just give your character, like, that one extra option, or that one extra, like, thing, right? So, for example, we saw Pharah. Her whole thing is, like, she gives the character a stance, right? Like, there's the Pharah stance, where Pharah hops onto the back of the character, and then it's like Pharah Thor from Mortal Kombat X. You have Frost, who can, like, freeze you from fucking full screen, because, you know, screw it. You have Serena, who can throw, like, four different projectiles on the screen to keep you in block stun or hit stun, so you can keep comboing. You have Cyrax, who now can lay those bombs and can, like, wrap you in the net. You have Sector, who can throw Doom missiles, right? So it's very interesting the way they're approaching it. And honestly, I think it's a lot of fun. And I don't play the game enough to where I'm, like, using assists properly. But, like, even when I'm playing and I'm like, oh, shit, I can use this assist move here, and this helps do this, and I can connect this with that. It's so cool. It's so cool.
Yeah, like, that's the best part of fighting games, when you're just that, when you're just good enough, but you don't really optimize or have the exact correct thing to do. When you're that learning phase is the most fun part, when you're way more forgiving of yourself to make mistakes.
Yeah, because it's not about the winning or losing. It's about just like, oh, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah, and you don't even know what those mistakes might or might not be. So exactly. It's like, oh, something happened. Well, that was cool. That was cool. What they did was cool. And then if you play for like another month, you'd be like, man, that thing is cheap. I hate that thing that I saw a month ago.
Yeah, and to Shayon's point, there are a lot of bugs, right? Like, it's a little bit of a buggy mess. There's one specific bug that has been happening. I think they might have fixed it by now, where if you're playing Homelander, which was the previous character, which, by the way, I think they did that character hella justice because he's really cool, the camera desyncs. So, like, you'll be battling. Like, you have player one, player two, and you're battling blah, 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 blah. And, like, say the camera is, like, where my face is, and you're like, blah, 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 blah. And there's something happens with Homelander where, like, the camera desyncs, and then the players, like the camera just moves over, so you'll still have the fight and it's happening off screen and the camera's just like looking around, and it only happens online. It's hilarious. It's so funny. But yeah, so there's still a lot wrong with the game, but the fact that they're like actively working on it, and that Ed Boon is like very clear about what their game plan is and like what they're going to be focusing on, et cetera, is really, really cool. So shout outs to the NRS folks. Are you going to pick up MK1 at all? Or is it still like just out of the automatic wheelhouse?
You got time for all that? Well, I saw it on sale during the Steam summer sale, and I'm like, nope, still not doing it.
Oh, speaking of Steam, by the way, did you see that there's a fighting game sale going on Steam right now?
Nope.
Yeah, it's a huge fighting game sale. I literally just saw it right before I hit the go live button, but a lot of fighting games are very, very cheap. Arxis has a ton of games that are super duper cheap. Capcom has a ton of games that are super duper cheap right now. So if you're into fighting games and you got yourself a PC with Steam, go check those out. You can get like a lot of fighting games for like 50 to 60% off right now. It's pretty sick.
No, honestly, now that you mentioned it, maybe I will consider picking up Mortal Kombat 11, because it's so easy to have bias towards it and see a clip of something that you think it might be, but it actually isn't. But then it might end up actually being that. Yeah. Like, I'm just thinking specifically about that assist with the bomb that doesn't go away.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, that looks like it's that gives me a lot of shock value. Like, oh boy, they're doing this. But, you know, I don't really play the game, so maybe I could find a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Not. And maybe it's okay. Maybe everyone's. Because I played Cross Tekken, and there was a lot of people telling me that game sucked. I was like, no, it doesn't. Because mm-hmm. you don't know how to play it. But, you know, I'm outside my wheelhouse with NRS games a little bit. I got decent at Mortal Kombat 11, but it wouldn't be that bad of a project to actually see for myself what Mortal Kombat really is and mm-hmm. whether I think it's good or if it's fun or whatever.
Yeah. And I remember you were like trying out Tekken for a little bit. Like, I just see Mortal Kombat as like 2D Tekken, because like the combo system is so similar with the strings, right? Where you have like a bunch you have a bunch of like two or three hit strings where you can like your job is to figure out which strings fit in whatever part of the puzzle of the combo that you're making. Honestly, I love that. And because it's a 2D game, like you have like it's a little bit easier than Tekken, right? Where like you have your wall splat combos, and you have your corner carry combos, you have your damage combos, you have your sidesteps, blah, 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 blah. With Mortal Kombat, it's like you have your corner combos, you have your mid-screen combos. You're having fun. Having a lot of fun. But yeah, Mortal Kombat 1. I don't know, man. I didn't expect myself to like it as much as I do. I'll be honest. I bought it, and I was like, yeah, it's another Mortal Kombat game, blah, blah, blah. But every time I watch it, man, I'm having a good time. Having a ball. Next, I want to talk about the Tekken World Tour Finals format, because that was also announced last week. And I specifically wanted to bring this up to you because I'm curious of what your thoughts on these are. Because I know what my thoughts on these are, and I think this is badass, because they're trying new stuff. And honestly, I'm all for trying new stuff. So
it's all news to me. I mean, when I think of Tekken, I just think of my friend who runs tournaments for Tekken. He loves Tekken. He like works with Atlanta, and he runs all kinds of tournaments in North Carolina. So I'm really interested for him to see, like, because I want him to be successful or continue his success.
Yeah. So here is how the Tekken World Tour Finals is going to work. They haven't announced when, where, or how yet. I'm assuming we're going to get that information at EVO, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Here is the overview. 20 players from the global leaderboard are going to get chosen, and 15 players from the regional leaderboard are going to get chosen, right? For day number one, they're doing four groups of five players of global leaderboard qualifiers. So just the global qualifiers is day number one. There's going to be four groups of five. And out of those four groups, eight people make it to the final day. This is going to be a four-day event. It's the first time they're having a four-day event for Tekken.
Round robin.
Yeah, so it's a round robin, four groups of five players for the global leaderboard. That's day number one. Day number two is all of the regional leaderboard qualifiers, three groups of five players. So same in the same vein, six people qualify out of those. That's day number two. Day number three is when they're doing the last chance qualifiers. So if you were in the round robin groups and didn't make it through, you are allowed to enter the last chance qualifier. And out of those, out of that entire tournament, two people make it out. And that takes it to day number four, where they were going to have a 16-person tournament. They say it's a double elimination tournament, but there's a big caveat here. And this is honestly like the one part that I find a little bit weird and I kind of disagree with. I want to get your take on it. On winner's side, the eight players that qualified from the global leaderboard group on day number one are on winner's side. Loser's side is the people who qualified on the regional leaderboard and the two people from the last chance qualifier.
What?
So unless you qualify from the global leaderboard pool, you are down a set on the last top 16 on the final day.
What?
Yeah.
What? what does that do? That you what?
Yep, that's exactly my reaction. I'm so happy you're having it as well.
What? I'm trying to think of how, logistically, how does that work out? You already so if you're from the regional side, you automatically are going to the loser side. But what did you lose? The word doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you didn't qualify through the global leaderboard. I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to like give the reward for people to qualify through the global leaderboard, right? Because honestly, like that's the hardest. Like you have to travel, you have to earn all the points, you have to do all the stuff. Like you're doing more work to qualify that way, right? However, I have a counterpoint to that, and I think so. If I pull this up again, if you look, the global leaderboard with the eight players coming out of the group, you have the most chances to qualify from the global leaderboard. And I think that should be your reward. You know what I'm saying? Like you have the most chances to qualify into the top 16 final bracket through the global leaderboard. Instead, what they went with is if you qualify through the global leaderboard and you get the top eight, or and you are one of the top eight to make it out of the round robin pools, you get on winner's side, everybody else, loser side.
Like superseding.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you're more than just like a first round seed, but there's people who are in loser side to begin with. Mm-hmm. That's really harsh. I guess what would maybe help me understand the reasoning is what are those qualification processes? What's the difference between global leaderboard and regional leaderboard?
So
you know what I mean?
Yeah, the regional leaderboard is any event that is like a dojo event or a, if I'm not mistaken, a challenger event. Whereas the global leaderboard are like the big, big events. I think. Like I could be wrong about tournaments, that.
Combo Breaker CEO, yeah. That kind of thing.
Yeah. So with the with the dojo tournaments, depending on, there's like one, I think it's like one person per region qualifies or something like that. Whoever's on like the top of the regional leaderboard are the people who get to qualify. And they're the ones that go into that regional qualifier group.
And, you know, it is a lot of players, though. It is a lot of people that get a shot to compete. I mean, I guess judging by the chat, there's no determination of what the prize pool is yet. Or where the
they don't have any information on it just yet.
It's a big, it's still a big opportunity for a lot of players, especially if there is a decent amount of money involved.
Yeah, I think genuinely the
it just is kind of jarring to start in losers after you've won something.
Yeah.
And it seems like if you're qualifying through the regional leaderboard, you are already an underdog. It's like implied that you're like, I hate to say class, but you're lower class than people who won a major or got their points that way. So you're already behind, and it puts you further behind.
Yep.
Okay. But from a spectator's point of view, I think can be pretty smart because logically the people who are better are probably going to win the global tournaments, so they're going to have more screen time because they just have more matches available. There's going to be less matches on the loser side that can happen.
Yeah.
Or at least a player would potentially be on stream less coming from the loser side.
Mm-hmm. I guess if you look at it that way, that kind of makes sense. Maybe I don't know.
That's the best way I think you can look at it.
Yeah,
but it don't. Whatever. I mean, it's their tournament. Do whatever you want.
Yeah, no, I'm curious. Look, I'm down to be completely wrong. To me, I think this is a bad idea. However, I'm down to be completely, completely wrong, right? And we won't know until we see it. So the one thing that I really love, and a lot of people have been responding very positively to, is the fact that the last chance qualifier is after the group stages. So if you didn't make it through the group stages, you get another chance.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that I'm a big fan. That I'm a big fan of. But yeah, anyway, that was the big news out of Tekken. Oh yeah, and I guess Lydia is going to come out the week after Evo, the same day as Takeda does in Mortal Kombat 1. They're both coming out on the 23rd. So that'll be fun. But yeah,
that makes me think about announcements in general, but I don't want to get into what, because I don't even know what they would announce at Evo for anything this year.
Yeah, so we'll get into it a little bit later, but that's definitely like a talking point that I wanted to hit, because a lot of the things, it seems like announcements are happening a little bit backwards, where things are getting announced before Evo because they have playable builds of the things they're announcing at Evo. So like the project formerly known as L2XKO, they announced Braum this past week. He's going to be playable at Evo. I think there's going to be a build of Lydia playable at Evo as well. If I'm not mistaken, I don't remember if there was a Mortal Kombat build that's going to be playable with the new guy. But yeah, it's a lot of like announcements pre-Evo. So I'm curious. Cheyenne is saying Takeda's at Evo as well.
Marvel 4 or CVS 3, that would be massive. I can't really think of anything else that would tarry in my footage. What else would there even be? I don't know. I don't want to steer the ship here. Sorry.
Yeah. No. We'll definitely be talking about that in a little bit. Before we do, this is a big year for Evo because this is the first time in a while that they changed venues. They're no longer at the Mandalay Bay this year. We're going back to the Las Vegas Convention Center. Not how it was before, mind you. It is the new wing of the Las Vegas Convention Center. Brand new space. Huge space. So the things that are super attractive about it are you no longer have to purchase a separate finals ticket. There is like an entire Sunday that you can also enjoy the show floor, whereas before they used to only have the show floor for Friday and Saturday. But now Sunday, it's not just the arena finals anymore. You can enjoy the convention as well. And there's going to be like a lot of community tournaments and a bunch of other stuff happening on Sunday as well. And I didn't quite fathom how big the venue was until they released the floor plan, which I have right here. Check this floor plan out for Evo. So here's how this is going to work. On this side, the arena. Right, we have the genuine Evo arena. This is normal, right? Except it's right next to all of the tournament setups. Right, so I think there's less stream stations this year than last year. I think last year they had 9 stream stations. There's 7 this year, I believe. So we have on the top Stage A, which I think is going to be Street Fighter stuff. We have Stage B, which I'm assuming is going to be Tekken stuff over here. On the right side, Stage C, which I'm assuming is, you know, and then, like, you know, all the other games, right? I'm not going to guess which ones are which because I'm really bad at it. And then they have the main stage where they're going to have, like, that Evo showcase thing that they have been doing a couple years in a row where they have, like, you know, developer panels, they have exhibitions, they have a bunch of stuff happening. So that's going to be cool. They have the community tournament section here on the bottom, which is looking pretty good. They also have a dedicated cosplay area this year, which is also really dang nice. I don't know, man. Let me ask you this: What's your thought on like having people come cosplay at tournaments?
I got a problem with it. So, I mean, it attracts people to look at the excellent cosplay. It encourages a new type of person to enjoy the tournament and go there to show off their cool work. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I feel like it's a relatively new thing to go to a tournament to cosplay, right? But honestly, like, I used to, like, kind of, like, just think it was whatever, but like every time I walk around and there's like people like with like actual like really good cosplays, like saw like a fucking Ramlethal walking around with the two swords, or like or you know, like a Terry who's got like the hat, or a Jamie who's got like the jacket and it looks really damn nice. Honestly, it's sick, like seeing people like really like put their passion into like making these costumes and then like cosplay them and like have fun and like just walking around. It's so sick. It's like another way for people to like participate in the community, and I think it's so cool.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of where I was going. I wasn't sure where the question was going. Because, like, That felt pretty obvious to me. Oh. Like, I don't think it could even be like a what's even the bad part about it? I don't even.
Yeah, no, I think
maybe
it's
gets a little lewd sometimes, but it's not really, you know, depending on who you ask, it's all right.
Man, it's not gonna. Nothing can get worse than the one booth at Evo last year where there were just tits everywhere. It was kind of rough. There was a booth, like one of the artist alley's booth. It was just like literally like top, like biggest ass print, yeah, and just tits, nipples,
jeez,
scary. but anyway, let's keep going with this, because speaking of boots and stuff, check this out. They have this entire area for boots. We have boots from Capcom, Riot, Cygames, SNK, the Chipotle Community Lounge, because, you know, why not? Arc System Works has their own booth. WB Games is going to be there. Bandai Namco. They even have some boots that are TBA that I'm assuming they're going to fill with, you know, whoever else wants to be there. What else do we have in here? Let's see. Paradise Arcade Shop, Tenno, Arcade Shock, the Sony PlayStation booth, the Red Bull booth, and the Comba booth are all like set. And they're like very like, I think they're like, the placement of them is really, really cool. Because you have like the one section in the middle here, and then, you know, they're dispersed around like the casual free play area on the right here as well. Check out, speaking of casual free play, check out that arcade, dude.
Yeah, that's the thicker than a bowl of oatmeal. Look at that.
Dude, yeah, I saw a tweet from Rick. I saw a tweet from Rick saying that they have 16 trucks worth of arcade stuff coming in.
15 of them are super guns.
Yeah. It's going to be pretty crazy. Oh, yeah. Mean Scene saying the Crunchyroll booth isn't going to be blasting anime music all day. There was to explain, last year there was a huge, absolutely massive Crunchyroll booth. Like, I think it was genuinely like one of the biggest booths at the event, and they had the attraction for them is like they had DJs, so like they would just be like blasting music hella loud, and like you would walk by and like sometimes there'd just be people raving. It'd be so sick. Like, people were just like really into it. But yeah, it's like, you know, that booth all like really felt like a little bit of an outlier. But like, I think Crunchyroll are the people who publish Street Fighter Duel, the phone game, so they had to be there. But like, you know, they had a bunch of really cool stuff. There was like a Jujutsu Kaisen like inflatable ball of like, where I guess they were previewing something. I don't know, I'm not into anime, so that's not my thing, but like people seemed really interested in it. So, and honestly, seeing a bunch of people get really hype over music and just like hanging out and raving and vibing, I'm for it. And then, dude, the Artist Alley also gigantic this year. It's literally like the same size as all of the paid booths. So there's gonna be a lot. And then like they have a gigantic free play area along with the community tournaments over there on the side. Wait, 1 second. What is this stuff over there?
It looks good.
What does that say? It's like D41. Where's D41? D41. Oh, Pixel. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the dark purples are games that'll be there. So yeah, there's a gigantic list of people who have a booth either for merch or for like showcasing like some indie games, indie fighters and stuff. Like Hidden Variable with Skullgirls is gonna be there. Aether Studios with their new Rivals of Aether is gonna be there. Udon has a booth. I saw where was it? There they are. Maximum Entertainment probably bringing Diesel Legacy, along with you know, Corrupt, 86, Tori, Nerds Clothing, Gamers Outreach, the entire like breadth of merch and stuff. So it's gonna be a good time. It's gonna be a good time. The floor plan looks damn nice. Also, speaking of Crunchyroll, by the way, we were talking about Crunchyroll earlier. They don't have a booth this year. However, there's going to be an Evo Anime Night this year, where Crunchyroll
anime,
yeah, they're gonna show the Street Fighter 2 animated movie for Evo Anime Night. And honestly, Steve, you're in here. Steve always, like, every time we mention this, Steve is always like so keen to talk about the Chun-Li shower scene. So Steve, I don't know if I'm really curious to see like what the audience reaction is gonna be with the Chun-Li shower scene. But yeah, I don't know, man. Look, it's all like, I don't know, dude. It looks gigantic. And I think the last Evo I saw you at was 22, right? I think that's when you went for Punch Planet.
Sounds about right. Nah, maybe before that. I feel like I've missed the past two Evos at least. So maybe it was 22, maybe 21. Hold on, maybe I can check my Evo medal for first place.
Go get it. But yeah, like the seeing somehow like Evo get bigger after the last 2 years is something that is absolutely wild to me. Like they announced that there's going to be 15,000 players as opposed to last year where there were 10,000 players. So
after changing venues too.
Yeah.
Like a non-factor. And prices, dude, it's probably more expensive now than it has ever been.
Yeah, the thing is, I think the thing that's attractive about this year is that I think it's a little less expensive if you always bought the arena ticket along with the entrance. So it is more expensive if you are just getting the tickets for Evo, but you no longer have to buy the arena finals ticket. You know. So and it's bigger, man. It's bigger. It's in a different spot. It's back where Evo's always been, at the Las Vegas Convention Center, which is so funny. And apparently what's that hotel, the Windgate, Endgate, I don't know, whatever that hotel is called, got like completely renovated. So
Squidly said the smell in there will probably kill someone.
You would think, right? I think I could make a really mean joke. I won't though. You would think, but what's really interesting about the Evo floor plan every year is like you'll run into the pockets, right? Much like any tournament, you're gonna run into pockets of sense of what you will imprint in your brain in the most negative way possible. But yeah. Mean Scene is saying like they'll miss the Mandalay Bay, even though it's a walk. You know what's unfortunate? The walk from the hotel I'm staying at to the venue is like a 20-minute walk, so it's like nothing's changed except now it's outside. So, hooray, hooray! But yeah, it's they've announced like so much stuff as far as like the Evo showcase goes. They're gonna have like a bunch of panels. They're gonna have I saw there's gonna be a thing with Yipes and Justin Wong that's gonna be moderated by Esteban, and where they're gonna talk about Marvel 2, which is pretty cool. Capcom is gonna have a build of the Marvel Fighting Collection there, if I'm not mistaken. So people will be able to play that when they're there. I don't know, man. It's gonna be good. We also have the stream schedule released. So for those of you interested in that stream schedule, we have it. And these are the 7 streams they'll be running this year. Evo is going to have the Evo showcase all day, and that's the stuff with the panels and stuff. Only one day this year. It's usually been 2 days. It's been on Friday and Saturday, but only one day for this year. Street Fighter 6 and Tekken have their own stream all day. Third Strike has its own stream all day from 10 a.m. until the end of the day. All Third Strike
people action. Showed up. They better. They got over how many thousands?
Yeah, it's got over 1,000 entrants. Over 1,000 entrants for Third Strike. It's pretty crazy. You have the Mortal Kombat pools sharing with the Grand Blue Versus pools. You also have the Uni stream and the King of Fighters / Guilty Gear stream as well for Saturday. Or for Friday, I'm sorry. Saturday, we're going to have King of Fighters, Mortal Kombat 1, Uni 2, and the Third Strike top 6. So they're sticking with the top 6 formula this year. And then on Sunday, for final Sunday, we're going to have Grand Blue Versus, Guilty Gear Strive, and then Tekken 8 and Street Fighter 6 rounding it out. So it's going to be a wild year, I think. There's a lot that's going to happen at a very short time at Evo this year. I'm assuming
looking at that.
Oh, go ahead.
The schedule itself is making me kind of like, oh, when does it start? I want it to happen tomorrow.
Yeah, right. Dude, honestly, like seeing one Third Strike stream for like 12 hours is really interesting. I don't think that's something I've seen in my lifetime.
Yeah, that might be the main thing I restream and then flip back to Street Fighter 6 whenever there's downtime or whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they round out Saturday night. That's the final of the day. So I'm assuming that arena is gonna get packed for that, dude, because there's like so many people who are gonna be so interested to watch even if they didn't play. So it's gonna be good. Gonna be good. Are you sad you're missing out on it? Or no? You just want to stay home, you're hanging out with fam? Not spend
I was
money.
thinking in my head earlier about, wow, I get so much for free. I can just watch it.
Makes sense. That makes sense.
Wish I could do both, honestly. Be here for free and then go there and, be able to wild out and, money. Money
Yeah.
is a delicate asset.
I wish it was like I wish it was like an RPG where you could just be like, "Hey, go chop down this tree," and then you just punch the tree over and over again. You bring them the tree blocks, and they're like, "Here's $800." That's not how it works in real life. Although sometimes it is. Depends on who you ask.
The perspective changes now that I've seen, like, it's close by. I am getting a little bit of FOMO because if you asked me a month ago and when I budgeted it and at a very minimum, if I like perfectly time every, it'd be like $1,000 to go there. Like, God dang, $1,000. But if you ask me right now, I was like, $1,000 ain't so bad.
Yeah, honestly, like I said at the top of the show, if I wasn't going to work, I wouldn't be able to go. So, hooray for work.
Yep.
It means I won't
For
get to
me,
enjoy
it's
it as much as I probably would if I paid my own way there, but you know what? I'll still be there, and that's fine. And honestly, working ain't that bad. Working ain't that bad. Speaking of not that bad, we gotta get some picks. We gotta do some picks, because you know, every tournament, I always try to get at least one or two pizza bets in here. Pizza slash quesabirria bets. So, automatic. Here's how this is gonna work this year. Three, top three. We're going to each pick our top three. I picked four games. I know you've in the past, shared you're not too familiar with a lot of the other games, so I want you to pick two games. So you're gonna do a top three pick for Street Fighter VI, and you're gonna do a top three pick for Third Strike. If one of us, if only one of us has a pick for a certain game, like for example, Third Strike, I don't have any picks for Third Strike, but you do. If you get it wrong, like if you get all three of them wrong, you're gonna owe me a pizza.
Dang it. I got some Corazon picks, man.
But with that said,
Straight from the heart.
I'm picking four games, so you have more chances to win your quesadillas.
Ooh.
So
Airpods coming up.
the So let's start with Street Fighter 6. Who is your podium picks, if you will, your top three?
Look, man, I think it's a fool's errand to pick three out of the many, many players who could potentially get up there and win. Daigo isn't even gonna make it two pulls. I've heard
Apparently he made it.
his oh,
Apparently
he actually they got
he
that
got
figured
it
out.
worked out.
Okay, the Day Zero tournament got figured out. He still might not make it out of pulls. You never know these days. But I'm gonna go with what I want to see.
Yes.
That is Punk'n Zhaohai Grand Finals. I would love to see those two duke it out with
Sorry,
their blood
who in
feud.
Shanghai?
Punk
Oh,
and
yeah.
Zhaohai.
That makes sense.
And I might just throw in Mena in there. You want to see him succeed sometimes. I think he's grown up. He's becoming a very talented and mature player these days.
Got it. Okay. You know who my picks are? They're not very
Yes, I
Corazon
do.
picks.
Oh boy. Was it gonna be Tokido,
No. I actually did a lot of research to get these picks too.
and Tokido? Okay, all right. All right, none of them gonna get it.
Gachi-kun, number one.
Okay.
Angry Bird, who just won the mix-up this past weekend. Minardi.
Okay.
Those are the three. So, for that, if you get more right, then I'll get you quesabirria. If I get more right, you'll get me a pizza, and then we'll keep the tally going. we'll keep the tally going. So anyway, that's Street Fighter VI. So I have your picks here. You picked Punk, Xiaohai, and Mina. And I have Gachi-kun, Angry Bird, and Mina. So let's move on to... Oh, Ace King Gofsu picking Tokido, Mina, and Big Bird? Ooh, that'd be interesting. You know what, Steve? I'm going to put you in this bet. You've just volunteered a bet. Automatic, talk me through, like, what your picks for Third Strike would be. Like, what are you thinking all of right. that?
Man, I looked through the bracket, and it was making me so happy. Seeing all these names from the days of old. I saw Gutex and Combo Fiend in there. I was like, man, this is beautiful. But I'm going to pick three Japanese players.
Okay.
Some of them are like, you know, maybe they play some goofy characters. Hayao is going to be there. Hayao, who plays Hugo, one of the best Hugo players on the planet Earth. Top two, easily. So he's going to be up there. Tomi Naga, who was flown out by Justin Wong. Photo player who infamously can do the 100% stun on Chun-Li, which at a time was thought to be impossible. A player named Telesniper figured out how to do it. Then Tomi Naga was like, yoink, I'll do it consistently. Really hard to do. He can do it. And the third pick, another friend from Japan, one of Javits's good friends. He's a young player, Issei. One of the best.
Issei, you say.
Plays Yon.
Nice. So, Hayao, Tomi Naga, and Issei. Mm-hmm. Okay. Dude, I wish I had a single clue about Third Strike, but I do not. That's unfortunate. I was going to try to like maybe make a pick, but I was like, dude, the only person I know who's really good at Third Strike is Tommy Two Step. So, so that's all I got.
Die.
Oh, there was a guy that used to live here in Austin who always went to what's that Third Strike event, the team event that happens every year in Japan? I'm blanking on the name. Co-op Cup. Co-op Cup. Co-op Cup. Yeah, there was a guy that lived here who was always like either like on the top two team or the winner. For Third Strike, so Austin
well,
always has
thinking
like
thinking about Ryan or Yuki.
No, man, I wish, dude, he was so cool. He would like when I was getting fat, he would always like tap my belly because he like you know the, like the Buddha belly to get good luck. Shin, I think his name is. Hold on, I'm gonna actually go to Facebook right now. So I feel really bad that I can't. I'm blanking on their name. They're.
I know that feeling.
God, I'm getting old and dumb. Well,
what character
dumber.
Did he play? Was this person wearing a hat?
No, I don't
wearing
think he,
a suit.
I don't think he wore a hat, but I also don't remember who he played. I just remember he played everybody.
They wore glasses.
He did have glasses.
Guess who here? Actually, I'm not describing anybody specifically.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for Facebook to load up.
Did they wear a trench coat
yeah,
and a
Shinichi,
mask?
Yeah, Shinichi Tokunaga. Yeah, so Shin. Yeah, I was right. Okay, cool. I should just go with my gut. But yeah, he used to live here in Austin. He was really cool. And then he moved back to Japan for work. But Shinichi. That guy's dope.
Fubar Duck? I thought Fubar Duck was so cool until I played him in Street Fighter V back when it was laggy. And we played on a laggy TV. And he told me straight in my face that he thought Street Fighter V was better than Third Strike. Fubar Duck, you mean nothing to me anymore. And he played Armika.
Oh, he did play Armika. You're right. No, but Fubar Duck was the owner of Arcade UFO. Super cool guy. He's pretty cool. I remember he was the person who introduced me to Uber because I had never taken an Uber until I was at Final Round, the first Final Round for Street Fighter V, and we were all hanging out. He's like, oh, just get us an Uber to go to this Don Chan place in Atlanta. I was like, what the fuck is Uber? And then he had glasses that would take pictures of everything. It was cool. He's like a super like tech forward guy. Anyway, why did I go on that rant? I think the gummies are hitting. Let's hurry up. So I also have some picks for other games. We both have a Street Fighter VI pick. You have a Tekken or you have a Third Strike pick. And I have three picks three like bracket picks. I have a Tekken 8 pick, a Guilty Gear Strive pick, and a Granblue Fantasy versus Rising pick. And I was nice enough to even sit down and actually make a graphic for this. So here you go. These are my picks. All of the picks for our bet. So Street Fighter 6 here. I said Gachi-kun, Angry Bird, and MenRD. For Tekken 8, I have Arslan Ash because, you know, you can't pick against Arslan Ash. I have John Ding because John Ding just won or was second at the at Mix-Up. He's doing very well. And Mulgold because Mulgold is the first place on the Tekken leaderboard or on the Tekken World Tour leaderboard. Then we have Guilty Gear Strive all the way over Dern. My pick, of course, Tempest. This guy has been winning almost everything. He won Evo Japan. He won Combo Breaker. He just wins everything. Umisho is second place for me because I'm a big Umisho fan. I'm a big fan of her. So Umisho for me. And then third, the Lord, the coolest person to ever play any fighting game ever, Gobo. Have you watched Gobo play at all?
I've seen him smile.
Dude, he does like some weird like JoJo anime shit to like freak people out. It's awesome. It's awesome. But yeah, anyway, those three. I almost put Zondo in there, but I like Gobo over Zondo. Last but not least, Granblue Fantasy versus Rising. I've been watching more of that game, and I've been like researching that game a little bit more. I'm starting to have some fun with it. Every time I play it, I have a blast. I just don't play it enough because I'm scared of liking anime. But my picks for Granblue Fantasy versus Rising are Gamera for first place, Dororo for second place, and then America's Hero Zippy, just because I really like their name, and they've been doing really well, and they've been like, they basically have been on like almost every top three from everything I've seen. But yeah, those are my picks: Gamera, Dororo, and Zippy. But yeah, so say again,
Zippy. That's something I would say to my little one. What you doing? You zipping, Zippy?
So
my voice like half the time these days.
Dude, I understand. I understand. I used to have a cat. And like I that would be the only thing I would speak to in some days. So I understand. But anyway, so these are my picks. So you have a set of picks. We both have a pick for Street Fighter 6. So if I don't get any of these right, I'm gonna owe you like 8 case of beer. I'm gonna owe you 4 case of beer. So
these are servings, right? Different servings and not the tacos, because the tacos themselves, you don't get a good deal, so you should probably get like 3. So I would suggest it'd be like 3-4 different servings for the 3 tacos, 12 take quesadilla tacos, you know what I'm saying? And you get the rice and beans.
So what if I bought all of the ingredients for you to make quesadilla at home?
I will accept 2 of those. The other 2 must come from Fana Lupita.
Okay. All right, we'll work it out. So yeah, you have a lot of chances to win a lot of quesadillas. I have like 3 chances to win pizza. So, and that's like, and the reason why I did that is because like I've been sitting here just researching all day after I got off stream, just because I was like, damn, I really want to like figure this out, just like to see what would happen if I actually tried. Can I get a 100%? And I say this because every time Steve and I would make picks, I would always win. So. And every time we've made picks, I think with the exception of one time, you've always had the win. I think you've always won, except for one time, which I think was Combo Breaker, where we were like, the point system was like, we were off by 5 points. It was super close.
Yeah, I just picked Duel Kevin, and I get Case of Beer. It's pretty tight, actually.
Last but not least, before we wrap it up here, I said it was going to be an hour. A short show. I'm sorry, I'm going a little long. Last thing before we go. I want us to do like some predictions for what the news will be. And you brought it up earlier at the top of the show. It feels like everything's getting announced before Evo. It feels like there's so much that's been announced already and not a lot that they can announce. So what in the world are we going to see? What do you think?
I think there's a shard of chance. Could be a Marvel 4 little logo or something. CBS3 is looking like a possibility. But announcing those games, they're probably so far off. I don't know. Might be one of those cases where they're saying coming soon. No, no date, just the logo.
Yeah, what they did.
That's not very exciting either.
What they did with Garo. Some kind of showcase or something. Well, that's what they did with Garo, where they just like showed like a graphic, and they were like, It's in development now, bitches. And that was
with
2 years ago.
A little bit too with Tekken 8.
Yeah.
About the same thing. Tasty Steve pulling on somebody's arm.
Yeah, and then Harada beating the shit out of somebody.
And you know, Capcom's, they kind of been experimenting lately with like non-flagship games. They have like a tactical strategy game coming out that just came out of nowhere. So maybe they're willing to do some like experiments.
Oh yeah, the
some kind of something.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I know the game you're talking about. It's the one that like looked like it was gonna be like an Onimusha type thing, and then it wasn't.
Yeah. Tower defense or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. For Street Fighter VI, we're gonna get a Terry trailer, right? Like it's like we're at least gonna get like the intro to the world tour, like they did last year at Evo for Aki, right? Like I don't see anything else happening for Street Fighter unless they do like unless they do like a Mai and a Terry trailer, or unless they like, you know what I think they're gonna do? What if they like show up with Cap Jams again, and instead of playing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for like a little bit too long, they play like Thundercats or some shit? That'd be sick. Like a Thundercats Street Fighter VI crossover.
I guess the best advice for myself would be to not expect anything, and not be disappointed at what you might think might happen.
Yeah, that's a good point. But, like, they have to announce something, right? Like, there has to be something. And I say that because I say that completely contradicting your point. Because, like, Evo is, like, the time. And I know we've been, like, these past couple years, things have been announced less at fighting game. Like, things for our fighting games have been announced less at fighting game events and more at, like, you know, bigger things like, you know, the PlayStation State of Play or the Game Awards or whatever. But is it the end of announcing things at Evo?
Yeah, it could be. And I wonder how much it costs to do that and if it's worth the investment, because you may not get... You'll probably get the target audience. But it goes back to that Mortal Kombat thing. You're going to get sort of the hardcore audience, not really the uninitiated. And that's where the money's at.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's in their interest to host it at some kind of event that includes other, like a variety of things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the counterpoint to that as far as like not being worthy to... And you're absolutely right. That's probably their thought. But I think it would be worthy to announce something, especially for the target audience, because the viewership for Evo is always like gigantic, and the attendance for Evo, and like, you know, the after effects of Evo, of like people talking about it, etc., right? Like, we're getting to the point where like Evo is getting like millions of views. So
yeah, I wonder if that was okay. Street Fighter VI, that was the first Street Fighter VI tournament at Evo, correct?
Yeah,
last year
7,000.
Before that, we had Street Fighter V. Before mm-hmm. that, we had Street Fighter V, and I don't think the viewership was that good as it was this. So that previous year, now they have the stats to show that we have great viewership. That could be more attractive to advertisers.
Yeah. That'd be so interesting to like go from, oh, it's not worth it to advertising stuff in the FGC, to, oh, it's worth it to advertise things in the FGC. I don't know, man. We live in crazy times.
I mean, let's be honest. Street Fighter V was barely hanging on.
Yeah.
It was. It had to go. It wasn't bad towards the end, but mm-hmm. people, it was just kind of, by the time that it got good, I think a lot of people were tired of it.
Yeah. Yeah, 1,000%. No, and they did such a, you know, like the reception for this Street Fighter has been so ridiculous in a good way, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, if I look right now, the amount of players on Steam is more than the highest point of Street Fighter V ever was. Like the average player base that just plays daily is already in what Street Fighter V's most played players ever were.
Yeah. No, and
easily.
Yeah, like, and it's crazy that they are doing the way they're announcing some of this stuff, even if it's just on like a Japanese broadcast. I don't know if you've ever seen like one of those like Capcom Next shows or whatever, where like we can't even get an English translation. I've started to notice that like some of the people coming on those shows are like actually big deals. Like there's like big deal comedians showing up to play Street Fighter. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of crazy.
Japan is eating Street Fighter VI up. It's a big deal over there.
Yeah. So, you know,
there was some mush on my monitor, and I thought there was something on my shirt.
Mm.
Completely irrelevant, but
No, man. You,
so, like you mentioned the pimple on your face earlier and
yeah.
Talked about how old I'm getting. Yep. I'm sorry. It's been a good show, man.
No, the pimple on the monitor? No, yeah. All right. Let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. Well, next time we'll figure out who won the quesadillas or the pizzas, and we'll meet up after Evo.
Well, someone chained together, man. We're gonna get back into that. I know y'all left me behind because yeah. I was negligent.
Well, no, it was just the one time, and then 56K is traveling now, so like,
okay.
Yeah, and then I'm traveling for Evo, and like, who knows what's happening? But we'll get back on Unchained for sure. That was fun. And they fixed the game, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I posted it on the Discord. The patch notes were fixed the move, the spinning crates in the city. That it was all desynced. They fixed it. So.
That makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. It's
perfect sense. We're starting mm-hmm. to look at each other like, hey, this ain't fun no more.
Yeah. So we'll get back to it. But anyway, this has been Best of Five. That's Automatic. You can find them at Automatic. Everywhere. I'm Elon. I'm from Best of Five. You can find me at Best of Five. Woo, 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 woo. At Best of V Show everywhere. So that's going to be it. Any final words for the peeps?
Nope.
Okay.
Thanks. Have a good night.
Yep.
Thanks for having me.
You heard the man. Nope.